future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers. Quit it now!
Welcome in, everybody. A Sunday edition of the bullpen. It is not Joe George. It is not Andrew Carlson. It's me, Brian McDonald, sometimes referred to as B-Mac. We got Sean Mapes, you can normally hear on the Paul Gallant Show. And we got my man RJ normally on the bench. Gentlemen, I don't know if this is the biggest mistake ESPN and Gallant Media has ever made or the best decision they've ever made. I think we'll find out over the next 2 hours. But how are you guys doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. Excited.
Now, you got to do this last week with Joe. So now RJ and I are on for the first time. But how was it last week with Joe?
Very comfortable, very great with Joe.
Joe is like a comfort blanket, right? Yeah. He's like a Snuggie. Yeah, Joe is exactly, a Snuggie.
Exactly.
Something so a smooth experience here. We'll see how it goes today. I originally had something different planned for the opening segment. Something that we might get to next week, I'm not sure. But some of this stuff around the NFL Combine and NFL Draft and how it affects the Texans, I think, is just too important to pass up and not get to right away. So I'm going to come at this from a Texans angle, but Jalen Carter, we obviously know what happened right after they were celebrating winning the national championship back-to-back. There was a car accident. One of his teammates and a staffer unfortunately passed away. And it leads me into a question about just how far Jalen Carter will fall and kind of the comparison I would make to Henry Ruggs. Now, we all remember Henry Ruggs. He was driving faster and he was intoxicated, unfortunately killed someone in a car wreck as well. And he's out of the NFL and has been for, what, a year or two at this point? So the question to you guys, first up, is how far do you think Jalen Carter falls? He was probably, I think, viewed as, at worst, the second best defensive prospect in the draft. I would say a lock to go in the top four, with the furthest he might possibly fall being number four to the Bears that they traded back. At this point, I mean, we saw Laremy Tunsil fall in the draft a few years ago because he had a he had the mask on.
Mask bong.
Obviously, this is a little bit more serious than a bong mask. So, is this something that you think drops Jalen Carter past the number four spot? How far do you think he falls?
I think it does at least put him in the same class as the guys in that area. Like, he's not the consensus top two non-quarterback anymore. I think he's with the Tyree Wilsons and the further down the list where maybe he could slide all the way to six or seven, seven or eight, depending on how many quarterbacks go. I don't think that he's this, you know, bankable, like, oh yeah, Jalen Carter and Will Anderson. Jalen Carter and Will Anderson. I feel like he's in that next group, and Will Anderson now is alone as the top non-quarterback just because he doesn't have any of the stuff looming, and also, in general, edge rushers are more valuable.
They're more valuable than interior pass rushers.
Yeah, so
for sure.
He has two things working against him. A, his position. B, this driving case.
Absolutely, and then when you also had guys like Todd McShay, also Lance Erline here at the station. And
Todd McShay's a little bit, I mean, he had that thing about, oh, he's got character concerns.
Yeah.
I mean, is he lit off the hook? Because people took Todd McShay to task.
Absolutely. They were grilling this guy, saying that he didn't know what he was talking about. Now things like this come out. I still believe that Jalen Carter's a top 10 guy. I think it now depends on what team is going to be willing to deal with at least the first year of questioning that's going to come with drafting Jalen Carter. And I don't think that now being that lock top four pick, maybe the Bears still draft him at four. We don't know, you know, what's going to be the case, but it definitely is going to be interesting to see. Like we said, we saw Laremy Tunsil drop way down in the draft after that picture came out. Does the same thing happen with Jalen Carter? Don't know, but it will be interesting to see.
I do think, look, I don't know. I wish I had a firm answer on where I think Jalen Carter falls at this point, but because I really don't see a huge difference between what happened with him and what happened with Henry Ruggs. Again, Henry Ruggs was intoxicated, but what we know from the Jalen Carter situation is that by the time he went back to the scene and talked to the police, it'd been 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it's possible that he was maybe slightly over the limit, a little bit of alcohol in his system, and by the time he went back, that he'd had enough time for that to pass. So You could see. I mean, I guess it just depends on. I think we could scratch him off the Texans board.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they didn't need quarterback, this would be enough of them to take him off the Texans board. But it does bring me to a scenario where I think this could benefit from the Texans. And I don't want to. It feels cold to say to immediately transition. How would this help the Texans? Oh. But I do think there's a scenario out there where the Bears were the most popular trade for the Bears is trading down to four with the Colts.
Right.
That's what we see on every mock draft I've seen. Hell, I saw one today where they traded up to number one to take Anthony Richardson, who we'll get into in a minute because that hype train is unbelievable right now. But if the Bears are willing to trade down to four, to me that's because they think, okay, whoever we trade with, moving up to number one takes a quarterback. The Texans take a quarterback at two. The Cardinals take either Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, and we get the other at four. So they leave the draft with one of the top-notch, can't-miss, in quotes, defensive talents in the draft. Now, if, let's say, Jalen Carter is off their board, if that's something to say, they look at and say, we don't want to deal with that with our first pick in this rebuilding process, then they've got to be in a situation where, well, we can't trade back to four, because if we trade back to four and we don't want Jalen Carter, the Cardinals are going to take Will Anderson at number three. And then they don't get the guy they want. So I think you're in a scenario now where it might force the Bears to say, let's just take Will Anderson at number one, and then the Texans could take whatever quarterback they want without having to move up.
Yeah, this definitely puts the Bears now really at a standstill, because at the time it was, let's see what we're going to get. There was a report that at to the very least it would probably take a second, next year's second, and number two, from the Texans in order to get a deal done for the number one pick. This story now comes out. The Bears were, ooh, we may take Bryce Young, or we may take Will Anderson. We may take Jalen Carter. If you don't want us to take, quote-unquote, your guy, if you're the Houston Texans, then trade up to now number one. With this story coming out, it now changes things for the Bears. And like you said, this is now not a time to where if Will Anderson is on your board, he may not be there at four. So maybe you now cut your losses if you were the Bears, and we may never know. The Bears may have drafted Will Anderson anyway with the number one overall pick and not even traded the pick once we got to the NFL draft. So I think this works out for the Texans in a way, but it's going to be interesting to see what the Bears had in mind once we get to the draft.
I also think that the difference between this and the Laremy Tunsil video is that the Laremy Tunsil video dropped at the start of the draft.
Yeah, it was during the draft show,
so
right?
They had no time to react, or teams had no time to react, no time to follow up or anything. Jalen Carter was able to go to jail, spend 15 minutes in jail, and then go back to the combine presumably meet with teams and answer questions.
You won't get this reference, Sean. Hopefully RJ will, and my wrestling fans out there will as well. But he spent about as much time in jail as Dom Mysterio did in Storyline, and now Dom Mysterio is this hardened criminal.
I'm glad Josh also didn't get that.
Josh also didn't get that. I looked for an ally. Saying right over his head. Yeah.
Good.
We probably won't get to any pro wrestling today, but that will happen between now and WrestleMania. It's just interesting because I know in conversations I've had with Joe, who is a noted Bears homer, I've often referred to him as Homer Joe. He's of the belief now that the Bears, he disagrees with my opinion. He thinks the Bears might even trade further back. Now, like, maybe even trade back to some of the QB needy teams like the Raiders, the Panthers, you know, go towards like 7, 8, 9 in the draft. If they don't believe Will Anderson is a generational talent, then and maybe that's the case. But I just think this works out to where they have to take Will Anderson at number one and then move on. So let's move on to something a little bit more fun. Guys, I don't know if you're aware, but Anthony Richardson is now Thor, the god of Asgard, the god of thunder. Dude ran, what was it? See, he ran a 4.43, the fourth best by a combine quarterback since 2003. Had a 40-inch vertical, the best combine number since by QB since 2003. His broad jump tied a modern record. Basically blew the combine completely up and had people reshuffling their draft boards to the point where, like I said, I saw a mock by what was his name? I don't have his name in front of me, but it was a mock on CBS Sports that has him now going number one with the Colts trading up to take Anthony Richardson. Sean, you have in your notes that this combine performance gave you pants tit.
Yes.
I'll get, I'll, I'll give the floor to you. Make the case for Anthony Richardson why this combine changes everything on his draft profile.
Because he got to dominate something. During actual football games at Florida, he didn't get to dominate. There's something called RAS, Relative Athletic Score. His score for everything is elite. Size, elite. Explosion, elite. Speed, elite. Like you said, he ran the fourth highest quarterback 40 time.
He ran a 4.43. Wide receivers don't even run that.
Yeah, all the other guys that ran faster than him are all like 20 pounds lighter. Maybe I think one of them was even like 30 pounds lighter.
Mention his size and weight, because RJ and I had this conversation before you got here. I just had a thought in my head. It's like, wait, is he bigger than D'Amico Ryans at his play? And he is. They weighed the exact same. Well, I'm sorry. There's 3 pounds difference between the playing weight listed for D'Amico Ryans and what Anthony Richardson weighed at. And Anthony Richardson's 3 inches taller.
He's
a linebacker.
He's 6'4", 244.
Oh, my God. I think I might be joining you with the pants. That is unreal.
That is the exact same measurement as George Kittle, the tight end
for the 49ers.
Yeah. I thought he was a little taller than that. Okay. You might talk me into this Anthony Richardson hype.
By the way, I'm not. I hate that this happens to me. That I have dumb football brain. That I see big guy throws it far, can run fast,
you.
And I'm like,
I don't blame.
Oh, yeah,
you.
Like, yeah, right. I'm still not putting him up there with Stroud.
Well,
and Young.
Let's save the rest of this conversation for the other side, because there's a lot more on Anthony Richardson that I want to get into. And after the Anthony Richardson conversation, we're gonna have a conversation about Mike McCarthy, because if you need another reason why the Texans made the right decision to hire Young with D'Amico Ryans and not take some old retread, I'm going to give you another reason why they made the right decision next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in the Bullpen Sunday Show. Brian McDonald, BMAC, Sean Mapes, RJ, my man here. And looks like we have a caller on the HRMP listener line. You can call us at 713-780-3776, 780-ESPN. It says Coachy is joining us, and I already know who that is. It's my man Kyle King, someone I did probably 200 episodes of a wrestling podcast in, but he's got takes on Anthony Richardson. What's going on, Kyle?
First of all, first time, long time, gentlemen. Absolutely love it. Great job. Good stuff. I loved in the last segment how you guys were bringing up Anthony Richardson's glorified workout that he competed in this week and how he got to dominate it. If only he would have dominated the SEC the way he actually did. A workout would have been awesome. I also loved the comparisons that you guys were bringing up. George Kittle, D'Amico Ryans. Not one quarterback you compared him to. That does not necessarily make me believe. Do what?
Is that a problem for you, Coach, that we're not comparing up the quarterbacks?
Kind of. You know, I mean, like, if the guy's playing tight end, compare him to George Kittle. Awesome. If he's playing linebacker, compare him to D'Amico Ryans. You know, if you want to compare him to a quarterback, I don't know, maybe find somebody he compares to. That's just me. It doesn't make me necessarily go, God, I want that guy to be the first quarterback off the board.
I think if we're comparing body types for quarterbacks, unfortunately for Anthony Richardson, it's another Florida quarterback. It's Tim Tebow.
Oh, I was hoping you'd go with Cam Newton.
That'd be a much better one.
That's the one that Anthony Richardson wants us to
The Cam Newton one, not the Tim Tebow.
He wants us to be like, oh, yeah, he's just like Cam Newton.
I don't know if I can compare him to Cam Newton until I see him actually die for a fumble in a big game. Oh, so I don't know if I can compare him to that or not.
Also, man. Cam Newton was one of the best college quarterbacks of all time.
He did.
Anthony
won
Richardson,
a national title.
Not so much.
Anthony Richardson 1 year at Florida did not win a national title. Their team was 6-6, and then he didn't play in the bowl game.
Lost in the Las Vegas
Bowl. Yeah, the prestigious Las Vegas Bowl. So, Coachy, I'm guessing you're not moving Anthony Richardson up to number one on your prospect board based off of what we saw at the combine?
No, I still think that, I mean, personally, I still think it's Bryce Young number one. Mm. I think it's going to be C.J. Stroud number two. I will say Anthony Richardson does jump Will Levis.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know if my bar for that would be very high. I'm not in agreement with Jeremy Branham on the Will Levis conversation. He had some of the same performance issues as Richardson, but at least Anthony Richardson doesn't put mayonnaise in his damn coffee.
That's true, and you know, nobody's comparing Will Levis to George Kittle, so I mean, check in.
Okay, so then maybe that's a check in the Will Levis on the side of the ledger. Anything else, Coach, before we let you go?
No, I think I got to go bail Dominic Mysterio out of jail again.
Yeah,
he's
a hardened criminal. You don't want to know what Mysterio has done to snitches in jail. It's straight from the TV show Oz. But thanks for joining us, Coachy. So he hit on it. I mean, we compared Anthony Richardson's body type to linebackers, to tight ends, and he brought up the point of, I wish he had dominated the SEC like he did the combine. And look, I how can you not be excited from what we saw from Anthony Richardson at the combine? It is fun. It is exciting. But then you have to think back to what he actually did on the field, and it was 53% completion, less than 2-1 on his touchdown, 17-9, and only one season of Florida. So obviously there's room to grow. He's only got one season as a starter in college. But if it's me, if I'm picking for the Texans at 2, if I'm transforming into Nick Caserio, which is horrifying to think of, I'd become way more boring. But if I'm in that spot where I'm picking, I just don't think I could pull the trigger on an Anthony Richardson when I only saw 1 year of film on him and he didn't look all that accurate as a passer.
Yeah, to me, I am generally, when evaluating quarterbacks, as a very serious draft analyst, most serious draft analyst on the station.
I've heard, that's what I've heard. People have said you're the most serious draft analyst.
Not the most prominent.
Not the most, no, definitely not the most prominent. I don't like the 1 year starter guys. I just would like to see more than 15 games, 16 games of, or no, actually less than that.
He played 12 games. Yeah. 12 games.
Yeah. I just, that's just not enough. Honestly, to me, you just haven't been a starting quarterback long enough, especially when the knocks on you is that you're not very polished. And it's like, well, yeah,
it'd be one thing if in the 1 year, he, like Bryce Young, 65% for his career. C.J. Stroud, 69% for his career. Nice number. It'd be one thing if his 1 year was that. Mm-hmm. Then you could say, okay, maybe there was somebody ahead of him that just didn't let him onto the field, and you could go down that route. But when you only have 1 year and he's shown inaccuracy, if I had the pick, it'd be C.J. Stroud. That's who I would go with at this point. Yeah. Because he doesn't have some of the same height and size concerns as Bryce Young. Plus, he's arguably the superhero trait that people push about Bryce Young is his accuracy and his poise in the pocket.
Yeah.
But arguably, C.J. Stroud's even more accurate. So, I mean, R.J., if you're at number 2, I mean, is Anthony Richardson someone that you would even consider? Or are you going someone that's proven it more on the field?
My pick is C.J. Stroud. I mean, when we talk about a guy who's only played 1 year, and Anthony Richardson 1 year as a starter, it makes you think of Kyrie Irving, but that's like two different sports where he didn't play a full season at Duke, was still the number one overall pick. I know the guy who's working closely with Anthony Richardson and Denny Thompson. He was on Pat McAfee just the other day and said, Anthony Richardson is obsessed with the game of football. His drive is what is going to separate himself from the others. And I understand that Denny does not put his name behind guys he does not believe in. So he believes in Anthony Richardson. I'm just wondering what he did at the combine and also what he did in 1 year at Florida, how does this now translate to the NFL level? If he goes somewhere like Houston, or if he goes to Atlanta, Vegas, Carolina, where, you know, year one he's starting, is the fan base going to say we're willing to take our time and willing to grow with Anthony Richardson? Or do they want a guy that they believe is more established, had more years in the NCAA and was more effective than Anthony Richardson? I mean, he says that he doesn't want to be called a project guy, but this guy's going to be a project.
Of course he doesn't want that.
Absolutely. But, I mean, you know, how many guys do we know just were able to spend?
I don't know if you disagree with this, Sean. And, again, it's Sean Mapes, RJ, and myself, Brian McDonald, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But is there any way that he would be drafted and start right away? I can't see a scenario where that plays out that way. I mean, he doesn't want to call himself a project. That's fine. But if you're not ready to start week one, aren't you by definition a project?
Barring him going to the Chargers and Justin Herbert being stabbed in the heart with the with a needle,
man.
A la
okay.
Tyrod Taylor, I don't think there's really any way. I think whatever team drafts him is also going to pick up one of these veteran quarterback guys, the Andy Dalton's of the
right?
world, the Jimmy Garoppolo's of the world. So
it's just
free that bridge.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see how you could have 1 year as a starter, not look that polished as a starter in that 1 year, and then come in and start right away at the NFL level. It's just frustrating, and I know what we want to get excited about the combine and what he did, but it seems like leading up to this point, before the combine and the draft process, people had Anthony Richardson as maybe like a late first round pick, yeah. right? That's kind of where he was. And then the combine comes, is oh my God, like we have Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports. They move him up to number one. They have the Colts trading up to go to number one. It's just, it makes me wonder, the people that had him late first round and now first overall, did they watch him in college? Because if they watched him in college, they would have already known he's essentially Chris Hemsworth in a Florida Gators jersey. He's already this Thor-like figure. It's not like the athleticism and the size is not new to Anthony Richardson. This was already there. I just wonder what changed after he didn't play in the Las Vegas Bowl to now that made him a better prospect.
I think it's the upside. I think it's the upside that makes people say, well, he may be a guy that we take a chance on. I mean, if you look at Indy's done the quarterback carousel. I mean, they've got who's who.
Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan.
Yeah, all through the NFL. Do they say, you know what? Maybe it's time to actually draft one of these guys and try to grow with a guy. Because I don't know who you get in free agency if you're Indianapolis.
There's no one. I mean,
and say,
Jimmy Garoppolo.
I mean, yeah. So,
Derek Carr.
If it's Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, and you're saying that we're still a legitimate playoff team, or do you get a guy like Anthony Richardson and say, let's throw him to the Wolves, let's see how he does, and let's allow him to grow. We'll get a veteran guy that we'll put behind him. And if Anthony Richardson needs more time, we have a veteran guy as a backup plan. So, for a team like that, it does intrigue me if you're going to move them all the way up to the board. I mean, Indy makes sense because Indy's already tried one model. Maybe it's time.
Well, not only does I think, and you hit on something that as you were talking, it just reminded me of something. They've got Shane Steichen now as their head coach, who took. I don't want to say Jalen Hurts was Anthony Richardson, but he was someone that people had questions about the accuracy coming out of college after playing at Alabama and Oklahoma. I mean, the thought, Sean, is. He's got the physical tools. Can he make the leap like Josh Allen made, who also had mechanical issues and accuracy issues in college and turned into a great quarterback? Is that something speaking to the guy that has the pants tent for Anthony Richardson, do you see that type of leap as possible?
I mean, Josh Allen, I'm looking at his college numbers from Wyoming, so he's playing in the Mountain West.
That's a great competition.
56 completion percentage. Actually 2-1 touchdown to interception, about the same as
Anthony Richardson. Yeah, it's pretty similar to Anthony Richardson.
He did have 2 years of starting as opposed to one. That is a difference, but you could say, well, he didn't improve that much from year one to year two of starting in college. So that is what's really driving this is the success story, the walking success story that is Josh Allen of
One in a million, right?
One in a million. Josh Allen is going to get so many GMs in the future fired for trying to draft the next Josh Allen. And Anthony Richardson honestly might be the first beneficiary as a draft prospect of Josh Allen being a success story.
I think you say Josh Allen will get people fired. I think Anthony Richardson there's no way for me that this goes kind of down the middle. He's either going to make the GM that drafts him
look like the smartest man alive.
Or he's going to get that GM fired. There's really no in between.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. We didn't get to the Mike McCarthy conversation, but we will get to that next. We got lots of more fun things coming up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The producers with you today, Brian McDonald, myself, BMAC, we got Sean Mapes, we have RJ Saunders. Guys, we're going to get into why Mike McCarthy is a huge dum-dum, but we have to address first Some of the Twitch chatters are calling you out, RJ, over your James Harden jersey. You care to explain the
goes
James
with
Harden?
The fit, guys? Okay, I have a Brooklyn Nets hat that costs about $10 from Ross.
Are you gonna give us the prices of everything that you list?
$20. Lids was looking to give the jersey away.
Yeah, so, I bet.
I mean, James Harden what played 80 games in Brooklyn?
They were looking to give it away, so I have it. There we go. Yes, I will be wearing a lot of LA gear.
That's one of the things they're calling you out about. You're an LA guy.
That's fine. I'm also a huge NBA head. Okay, Sean knows this. I'm a huge NBA guy. But I'm also a fan of the thought process of James Harden coming back and playing for Houston.
Oh, God, I want no part of that.
We'll save that for a different show.
Yeah, we'll save that. That's nightmare fuel. All right, let's get into Mike McCarthy, who constantly reminds us of why he was let go in Green Bay and why Aaron Rodgers didn't really want to be surrounded by him. So, obviously, they let go of Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore now moving out to your beloved L.A., RJ, to work with Justin Herbert. And Mike McCarthy is now the O.C. in calling plays, and we got some of the reasons from Mike McCarthy as to why he made the move. Basically, he wants to run the ball more. He wants to nice audio there, Sean. He wants to establish the run. He's from that old school mindset, and he had this to say via the Dallas Morning News. Quote, Kellen wants to light the scoreboard up. Like, that's a bad thing. But I want to run the damn ball so I can rest my defense. He continues, I think when you're a coordinator, you know that you're in charge of the offense, but being a head coach and being a play caller, you're a little more in tune with everything. I don't desire to be the number one offense in the league. I want to be the number one team in the league with the number of wins and a championship. And if we've got to give up some productions and take care of the ball a little better to get that, then that's what we'll do because we have a really good defense. I'm so glad the Texans hired someone. I know he's a defensive coordinator and somebody would obviously to play defense in the NFL. I'm glad we hired, I say we, listen to me. I'm glad the Texans hired someone that is from a younger mindset, hopefully more of a new school approach, because this idea, and I'll get what you guys think of it, and I've got some numbers to kind of back up where I'm going with this, but this idea that the answer for the Cowboys is to run the ball more is baffling to me.
Without question, it's baffling to me, too.
I know Dak turned the ball over, but you got CeeDee Lamb, you got a quarterback that you paid a bunch of money. Yep. I mean, why is the answer running the ball?
It's also the year 2023.
Yes, exactly. This seems to come from, you know, a time period when people would say, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We got to control the clock. It's like Sean said, it's 2023.
2023. We also had the throw era in the early part of the 2000s as well, where, I mean, you know, everybody's lofting it up. You had a wide receiver who was your number one option, go up and go get it. But an interesting stat, so I looked this up online. So just looking at the last 2 years, in 2021, how many teams were there in the NFL that ran the ball over, when it comes to the ratio of pass to run?
They ran it more than they passed
it? Ran it more than they passed it. In 2021, there was only one team in the NFL
that, I'm sure it was the Chiefs. It was the Super Bowl champions, right?
No. It was the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, pretty
that
good.
That ran the ball over 51% of the time in 2021. In 2022, there were five teams. However, when you also look at Dallas, Dallas is basically this season, last season, a 50-50 team. So, I mean, you know, 48.9% was the run, 51.1% pass percentage. I don't know what he's honestly trying to insinuate, saying that they're trying to run the scoreboard up. I mean, you had Zeke Elliott. You also had Pollard.
He doesn't want to run. Like, he said, where was the quote? He says, Kellen wants to light the scoreboard up. Like, that's a bad, is that a bad thing?
Everyone's trying to light the scoreboard up. I mean, that's what fans want to see. They want to see a high-scoring game. Sure, the defense is, you know, what wins the championships, but I think the offense is what's putting the fans in the seats. So, I mean, for you to be that balanced of an offense just this past season, and you're saying all that Kellen Moore wants to do is light up the scoreboard. That's kind of baffling to me. I don't know about you guys, but that's baffling.
If I'm an offensive coordinator, the one job in the entire NFL that I want.
That's the only job in the NFL
you want. You had one job.
Because what? Oh, you don't want to light up the score? That's fine.
So you specifically want to be the Cowboys offensive coordinator.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Fire me? I'm not the number one offense. Isn't that what you want?
That's what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll run it with Zeke for the first two downs, and then we'll throw it. And then I'll get a nice buyout after I get fired.
It's just the logic that baffles me. And also, when you look at their roster, just the makeup of that roster makes this quote even more baffling. Because, I mean, part of his quote says, "I don't desire to be the number one offense. I want to run the ball and rest my defense." Running the ball doesn't rest your defense.
No.
Getting first downs and keeping time of possession rest your defense. And what we've seen in today's NFL in 2023, whereas, you know, in contradiction to what Mike McCarthy grew up in the 90s and before, it's passing the ball that picks up first downs, keeps the clock moving, and rest your defense.
Also, he doesn't want to be the number one offense. You know who does? Every offensive coordinator in the league.
Except for Mike McCarthy. Kellen Moore wants to be number one, and now he's in L.A.
Yeah, everyone wants to be the number one offense because that's what these guys get judged on, is how offensive coordinators, how good their offense, how good of an offense they can coordinate is. That just absolutely bad. Do we know who they've hired as the new OC?
Obviously, Mike McCarthy is, I guess.
He's going to call plays?
Well, it might be. I mean, Bill O'Brien did that for years. It might be that situation.
And I think McCarthy's done it. He would do the thing where he would switch on, like, on and off calling plays.
Yeah, to pass the blame onto someone else. Yeah, we've seen that from coaches.
Oh, Brian Schottenheimer is the new OC.
They'll run the ball plenty.
Schottenheimer's is established it as it gets. He's very high T. You wouldn't need Apollo Men's Health, shout out to Joel's client. You wouldn't need Apollo Men's Health if Schottenheimer's calling your plays, because he is very high T. They will establish the run. But when you have Ezekiel Elliott, last year, do you want to take – well, it's in the rundown, so I guess I can't ask you to take a guess. You'll probably get it dead on. But Ezekiel Elliott ranked 41st last year in yards per attempt at 3.8. Mind you, that is less than a man who got shot in the damn leg, Brian Robinson. Man that got shot in the leg came back and averaged more yards per carry than Ezekiel Elliott. But yet, this is the plan that Mike McCarthy presents us to establish the ball and run it more. And to RJ's point, you mentioned the run-pass balance. So I looked up a few other things. The teams who led the league last year in total carries, we had Atlanta, number one, 7-10. Chicago, number two, 3-14. The Eagles, okay, there's a good run team. The Commanders, 8-8-1. And then the Browns, 7-10. So of the top five teams in rushing attempts, one of them had a winning record. And then you look at the opposite side of that, the top six teams in pass percentage, you had Tampa made the playoffs, Chargers made the playoffs, Vikings made the playoffs, Chiefs won the Super Bowl, Jets, yikes, they had Zach Wilson, and then the Bengals. So five of the top six not only made the playoffs, but you have the Chiefs who won the Super Bowl, Bengals who have been to back-to-back AFC championship games. I just don't see where Mike McCarthy is getting the data from that would suggest that he need to run the ball more.
In a sport that's really going complete analytics, I mean, like you see in the NBA.
He's ignoring it.
You also see it in the MLB. Now you're seeing it in the NFL. You're completely ignoring these analytics. And you look at these teams, at least, you know, in the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Bengals, these teams, at least for the next, we could say, 3 to 5 years, are going to be in the playoffs, playing the style of football that they play, which is going through the air. They don't abandon the run game, but they understand that you got to go through the air. There's no more, at least in my opinion, I don't know if there's any more that give me a 14-play, 77-yard drive takes off
it's
8 minutes of clock.
Everything now is in the name of efficiency. If you can score in three plays, why would you try to take 14? But I think it's just the reverse of what guys like Mike McCarthy believe. They come from the era where they believe that you ran to set up the pass.
Right.
But it's just the complete opposite now. You pass, you come out and pass looks. You see that, Sean and I are fans of Big 12 football. We saw that from Texas Tech for years, where they would spread you out in four and five wide. Well, not five wide, obviously, but they would spread you out in four and three wide and then run the ball against lighter boxes. That's the idea now of setting up the pass or passing to set up the run. So, yeah, I just don't get where Mike McCarthy is coming with that. So, all right, coming up next on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, again, it's the Bullpen Sunday edition. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald. We've got a few things we want to get into. One of those being some of the NFL owners. We have this NFLPA survey that came out talking about just the really deplorable conditions in some of these NFL stadiums. We got to get into that because some of these teams are just acting like absolute pores, and it's amazing. And I also wanted to play a game of fill in the blank to answer some of the top questions surrounding the Astros, the Rockets, and the Texans for this offseason and in their future. So that's coming up next. Stay right here. The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, the producer's show, The Bullpen. You have me, Brian McDonald, RJ Saunders, and Sean Mapes. Thanks for joining us, guys, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And like I teased right before the break, we got to talk about some of these NFL owners just acting like absolute pores and some of the conditions that we see in the NFL stadium. So I know you guys saw this. If any of those listening haven't seen it, there was a survey by the NFLPA, right? They just, I guess they...
Players Association, yeah.
Yeah, the Players Association obviously surveyed their players. And just to see like where the teams were falling short, you know, the strength. I saw a lot of comments about the strength, you know, the weight room and the strength coaches, about the cafeteria, the travel. And then you had some teams with some different issues. And let's start off with a team in the Texans division, the AFC South. Guys, apparently you can't eat anything at the Jaguars Stadium because they have lots and lots and lots of rats like it's the plague.
Jacksonville, I miss you.
Stand up for your city.
I was going to give the floor to recent Jacksonville.
Now, have you been to a game at the Jaguars?
I went to one game. And
did
that
you
was,
see rats?
I never saw rats. I saw rats at our local mall, but I never saw rats at...
Shout out Jacksonville.
Shout out Jacksonville. I never saw rats at TIAA.
Look at you get the sponsor name in there.
Listen.
That was professional work there.
Next time I need a
Big
bank.
J Journalism.
Florida. I'll make sure.
I never saw it. It's funny. I never would have thought that was going on. Because if you look inside their locker room is a very nice locker room. But apparently now they're having rats.
I will say, I think this is a little bit overblown. I mean, inspectors
rats,
only...
Rats, Sean.
Inspectors only found 159 incidences of rat droppings and discovered only 129 violations at concession stands at the Jaguars team. That's it.
Listen to Sean.
What's you wearing? You look poor.
Listen to Sean. Thank you, Josh. Listen to Sean sticking up for Big Rat over
Sean
here.
Sean Khan over here.
Oh, thank you. I was actually going to make so his son, Tony Khan, as RJ knows, runs All Elite Wrestling, which is based out of Jacksonville. So maybe the Khan family is spending too much time on wrestling and can't handle the rat problem, which is funny because the term rat has a very different meaning in wrestling circles, which we can't really say on the air. So it is a little funny that Jacksonville, a town that hosts wrestling all the time, now has a problem with rats. So you mentioned the locker room, RJ. They had for 3 to 4 weeks. This wasn't like, oh, we saw some rats one weekend and we took care of it. 3 to 4 weeks, they had rats in their locker room and in their laundry hampers. And as Sean mentioned, 159 incidents.
Only.
Big rat over here, Sean Mapes.
Only.
You work for
I'm trying to work for the Jaguars.
Okay, that's right. All right. It's amazing that you could have, like, I could see, obviously, you're in a big city, and Jacksonville's actually, the smallest market in the NFL? I believe they are.
Green Bay.
Okay, probably second lowest. So I can see, obviously, if you have a team like the New York Giants or the New York Jets who play in New Jersey, big city, things happen. You might have some rats get in. I could even see it happening here in Houston. It's a big city. But you would think, with the money the teams make from their TV deals and just the billions of dollars that roll in every year, they could nip that in the bud and take care of that over a weekend. But the 3 to 4 weeks?
Well, I mean, this is also, I think, a huge deal with when Jacksonville wanted a new stadium built. And the thing with Jacksonville is also that they have put a new coat of paint over the stadium and said, hey, here you go. There has to be something going on where there is a rat infestation to that degree. Josh, what would we describe that as? Josh, what would Anna say?
What's you wearing? You look poor.
Yeah, you look poor. Yeah. Well, first off, RJ, you can't put a new coat of paint over rat infestation.
I'm not saying that you should.
We can try it. Maybe
Jacksonville. I love you, but this when I read this in the rundown, I said not.
I would ask Scott McGrath about that. But then,
yes, where's McGrath the pest control? We like to kill all the bugs and roaches.
He would have
and
had that done in a weekend.
Yeah, McGrath would have killed it all and then told us about a Noah's Ark joke. It would have been great. It's just unbelievable that it would go on for that long. So let's move on to the Cardinals, who, Josh, if you could, please hit that drop one more time, because this is the poorest of the poor teams.
What's you wearing? You look poor.
The Cardinals, only team in the NFL to do this. Not that that should be a surprise, because this is as poor as it gets. Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, charges their players to take home food if they leave the stadium and want to take food home from the cafeteria with them. They deduct it from their paychecks like it's a child support payment. And they also charge them to eat food there in the off season and rank worst in food quality. Cardinals, what the absolute hell are you doing?
So not only is it crappy food, I have to pay for it too? What? I can see why Kyler Murray's upset all the time.
Yeah, I can see why Kyler Murray's
upset. I would stay home and play Call of Duty,
too. Yeah, I can see why he doesn't want to spend time at the facility watching film. Ugh. I'd rather play video games for free.
You're going to charge me to eat while I watch film? I'd rather do that at home.
I mean, when they try to put in the study?
Homework
clause. The homework clause in his contract, he should have hit the bag. He's like, all right, I'll study.
Please.
But can you not charge me for Cheetos if I want to take them home?
I'll put a no charge clause in your contract.
This exact thing was a scene in the movie Moneyball, the hit film
was
Moneyball.
Was it really? Yeah,
where
it's a throwback.
Outline how poor the Oakland A's were at that time, where they, in the vending machine, you actually had to put in like a dollar to get something.
Yeah, see, I actually ran into something. This is not to throw a team here under the bus. I won't name names, but it's a team that plays basketball here. I actually worked for them at one point. And when you went up into the employee areas, like where I worked, like you went to a soda machine, you could get a 20-ounce soda. This was 2007, but you could get a soda for like 25 cents. And like something that you would go to the convenience store and pay, you know, like $1.25 for.
Right.
If you go down to the lower levels where it's like not the office people working, it was like $2 for the same bottle of soda. So I don't know if that unnamed basketball team that plays professional basketball in the city is still doing that. I'm not naming names, but that was something I never found cool. So a few more that I wanted to mention before we move on. No surprise, the Washington Commanders rank absolutely dead last. We're going to talk more about Daniel Snyder later in the show. They rank dead last. Basically, every spot of the survey, whether it be strength and conditioning, food, travel, apparently they were making teams or players bunk together and share hotel rooms, which not very many people did. And you have the Bengals as the only team in the league who doesn't provide supplements to their players or have phone chargers in the locker room. I mean, once again, I mean, Mike McCarthy doesn't know it's 2023. Apparently the Bengals don't either. I don't know how you don't have a phone charger in the locker room.
We need you with complete focus. Well, think about the game.
I kind of agree. Of like,
really?
Just bring your phone charger, Jamar Chase. Like,
bring your own phone charger.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I read this as they might not even have outlets where you could just plug in the phone charger. Yeah. Well, in the supplements thing, I mean, you would think in a league where you could have players popped and then trying to blame it on beef they ate in Mexico, shout out to Dwayne Brown, you would want to be able to say, okay, take these supplements because they're approved by the league. Don't bring in your own. And yet the Bengals are obviously a great team, but they're doing it completely backwards.
When you have an NFL team that's not giving you supplements, like in the NFL is a billion-dollar corporation. Here comes my issue. Just give that to me one more time, Josh.
What's you wearing? You look poor.
Here's my issue. When your chef, you should be getting like world-renowned first-class chefs. When your chef is so bad that players are bringing in their own food, like the Indianapolis Colts, to the facility because they do not trust you with how you cook, no wonder why no quarterbacks have worked in that organization over the last couple of years. Maybe it's because you're not feeding them correctly. That is sad to me that you don't have a reputable chef that can actually cook decent food to get you ready for Sundays.
I feel bad for Phil Rivers' wife. Think about how many lunch she had to make, not only for 1,100 kids, yeah. And then also
I was gonna
Phil
make
Rivers
one.
Has to bring a sack lunch because the Colts don't know how to hire a chef.
Well, yeah, he has to bring a sack lunch because all of his paycheck goes towards feeding his 20 children. So, yeah, just NFL, do better. I mean, let's get the rats out of the locker room at least and not charge players to take home food. So we only got a couple minutes left in the segment. But I wanted to quickly get into what I teased, the fill-in-the-blank game, just to get kind of a few topics out for each of the teams. I'll probably do one each since we only have a few minutes left. Something that we wouldn't spend maybe a full segment on, but something I do think is worth talking about. So let's start off with the Astros. And I think the biggest news right now out of spring training, of course, is Lance McCullers not being available for the start of the season. So the question to you guys, Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald with you here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If Lance McCullers doesn't return by blank, it'll be time to panic.
I think June is really the time where you go like, oh, man, this again from this guy? Like The same thing happened last year.
He didn't return to August.
Yeah, there's a setback because they couldn't work out at the facility because of the lockout, whatever. It just still, like, if we had to do another summer of just Lance McCullers throwing in Minute Maid Park on Sunday and then talking to Mark Berman and Brian McTaggart, being like,
I feel pretty close. I hope
to start in the next couple weeks, and then he doesn't start for another 2 months. That would be annoying, and then also just missing that much time. That means the injury is probably more serious than what they're living on right now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that right now I look at this as more – it feels weird to say it's a blessing that Lance McCullers is hurt, because obviously you need him for the depth of that rotation. But Lance is now, I think, at a point with what we've seen with his repeated injuries where I don't really want him pitching a full season, yeah, 180 innings. I mean, I think you're almost better off. Obviously, he did this for a much much different reason, but almost like Roger Clemens when he came back here a couple times, didn't start to June just because he was old and he didn't feel like pitching the full season. I'm fine if Lance does that, to be honest.
On this team, if you're only going to pitch half the season, make it the second half.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, we know the odds that Lance gets hurt are high. That's what we've seen. It's happened multiple times now, so it'd be better to just get it out of the way, and hopefully he can return at the end of the season. We'll get one more in quickly, and then we'll head to break. Let's get some basketball talk in. I know you guys are huge NBA fans, and this is something I've wondered because the Rockets have had a number of high picks recently. Some of the success of the players is varied, but Jabari Smith is a blank going forward.
A guy who's lost his confidence. I think here's a guy that I don't know how he feels that he's being utilized, but when you hear
things
from...
They're not running plays for him, right? That was what Steven Silas quote.
And then you also have Steven Silas just the other day talk about, well, you know, I don't try to put a lot of pressure on him. He's a guy that wants to be a perfectionist. I also think this is a guy who went from being the man in college to now it's, am I a 3-and-D player? Do you want me to play more in isolation? You're not really giving me a structure. And I think this is a guy who likes playing in structure. So he's lost his confidence, and it was visibly...
If you want structure, don't come to the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, it's visible to see that he's kind of lost his confidence. Hopefully he gets it, you know, next season, but it'll be something to look at.
Yeah, I put the same thing. He's like, he's just another rookie. Like, he's a rookie who is not great enough to overcome the circumstances that he's being put in.
The circus?
The circus stances that he's been in.
Oh, I like that, Sean Mapes.
Hashtag.
They don't have a point guard. This is a guy who came in, and his floor, he's viewed as a very high floor player of being that 3-and-D wing that can...
Rashad Lewis was...
Yeah, that you play make for him.
Yeah.
The problem is the Rockets don't have any playmakers, or they have one, and it's Alperen Sengun.
Quickly, right before we go out, I mean, obviously, it seems like we're kind of writing him off for this year, Jabari Smith, that is, but if they improve the coaching staff, if they get somebody that is a playmaker that could set it up, do you have faith that he could take a big step forward, or is he just the guy going forward?
No, I think he needs, just in the short term, to have someone kind of set him up, someone to just give him the easy spot up threes, the open spot up threes, someone You know, someone who's really good at finding that he is actually going to be a free agent this year is James Harden. Very good at finding.
Okay, all right. I'm going to cut you off there. We're going to move on. RJ's man love for James Harden with the Brooklyn jersey. And all right, next up on the bullpen, we have something we want your participation with. We asked the question: in any sport, who is the player that's under the most pressure to win a championship? We'll give our answers next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.